This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Rina Liu. It's Tech Talk, and it's not too late to say Happy New Year to Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, who joins us this first Thursday of the month. I'm turning over a new leaf. I was attempting to turn over a new leaf and be nice to Karam this year, but then he nearly forgot that there was a show today. He made it on time. Welcome, Karam.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and to all the readers and listeners out there.
Yeah.
There
so, you and your resolution this year is to let me get in a word edgewise. When you stop to breathe, I can talk.
You can talk, yes. You can even string together a couple of sentences. And I will prove that in today's show.
As he says slowly. So, you start off the year with your infrequently held... It was quite frequent the year before, but last year a bit infrequent. So you're infrequently held disrupt, right? So, and your panelists shared their thoughts on the highs and lows of 2015 in the Malaysian tech ecosystem. So tell me, as they say in India.
India, I tell you. So basically, when you just kind of wonder about disrupt being infrequently held, and that was brought up by one of the panelists also, Dr. Siva Palan. And really, when we launched, just a quick history, when we launched in 2012, we launched in May. Then in August, I think we realized that there was no regular industry event where, you know, people from the tech ecosystem, startups or MNCs, you know, tech players and guys who want to be around the tech ecosystem had a regular hangout place and or event. So we said, let's create an event and we call it Disrupt, and where the panel session is the honey, the hook for people to get together. And then you obviously do networking before and after the event, and hopefully the conversation every month, the topic is interesting.
Right.
So we did that. And then in 2014, January, we had an event. Sorry, in 2015, we had an event for enterprise technology. And after that event, we said that, hey, you know what? There's just so many regular events happening now in the ecosystem that we don't need to have this our Disrupt anymore as a monthly event. We'll have it when when there's a hot enough issue calls for it, then we'll do it. Or when we get a big name, you know, then we may do it. So
you
that's
had,
why.
You had an event in, what was that, October?
Oh, the September. That was our anchor conference, our inaugural conference, which What's Next.
What's Next.
Yes. So that was the conference.
No, so we expect a What's Next this year.
Yeah, What's Next will be annual. So hopefully Disrupt will not be annual. We hopefully to have at least one or two, you know, per year.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was the reason why. Infrequent, right? Uh-huh. And the key reason also I was sharing with the audience on Tuesday was that magic had come into the picture, correct? Mm-hmm. And they just started organizing so many events.
Yeah.
And people were attending the events. They liked the events, right? So that was a fantastic job done by them. So we could pull back. And guys like High Sleek with Startup Mama, and I think Inbaraj, who does the KL Coffee Club, right? They've all done a fantastic job of keeping it going. So we didn't need to do it. So we stepped back. Anyway, coming to
the highs and lows.
The highs and lows. So we had three panelists. Faris Yahya, CEO of CyberView. No, that's the government agency. It's not government agency. It's actually a private company, but owned by the Ministry of Finance. And they are trying to promote Cyberjaya as a global tech hub now. Very different. The ambition is very big now. Then we had Jamaluddin Bujang, the CEO of a Malaysian Venture Capital Management, and that's the government's venture capital arm. Then we had Dr. Siva Palan, president of Malaysian Business Angels Network, Proficio, chief evangelist, and a few other designations. So he was a panelist also. So we started off with Faris, talking about the highs and lows. And because Faris is trying to make Cyberjaya as a global tech hub, and they've got like seven, you know, verticals they're looking at, from smart technologies to smart cities, green energy, smart cities. And he just shared what they were doing and the highs and lows of the year. And one of the things that came out was that it just seems to take the cycle for getting people to want to invest somewhere is a lot longer now. And he actually even gave the example of a local company whose lease was expiring in KL, and he's trying to get them to relocate to Cyberjaya. And in the end, the CEO decided not to. And one of the reasons was he felt that Cyberjaya was far. And for Faris, was very frank. He said that for some reason, that's still a hurdle that Cyberjaya needs to overcome. And I can't understand it because I've been driving to Cyberjaya regularly since 1999, right? When I started covering the tech space. And it's a 45-minute journey, correct?
It's long.
So, but time-wise, distance-wise, just time-wise, no. And time-wise to go to KL is the same.
Yeah,
so,
true.
But then Faris said some of the highlights was that he said they attracted contracted a MNC to relocate to Cyberjaya, and about 20 SMEs. So what they're doing is they're trying to target technology companies from around the world that are emerging and with promising companies, and saying, look, use Cyberjaya as your hub for Southeast Asia, even maybe the Middle East or the rest of Asia. Mm-hmm. And they actually got about 20 SMEs, you know, to relocate to Cyberjaya, which is good. And there's a lot of talent there. I mean, he mentioned like there were, I had it in my notes, it's like 30,000 students, right, in the Cyberjaya vicinity. That's an incredible amount of talent, right? And many of them are studying technology-related fields, you know, design, multimedia, software.
That's a great
talent pool. So that's what's going on there with CyberView. And then
these are the highs.
Yeah. And no, the lows was the fact that there's still an overhang that Cyberjaya is far. And then overseas, it just takes a much longer time, you know, for companies to make decisions. And it's hard to target the big companies, because the big companies are wooed by everyone. That's why their niche is going for companies which are on the cusp of becoming, you know, growing into becoming middle-tier companies and later big companies. So that's what he's doing. And then you had our friend MathCaps Jamaluddin Bujang, and he felt that it was a very good year for Malaysia, because in terms of venture capital, he used the term it's a watershed year, especially in terms of private investment. He says for a long time it's been difficult to get the private sector to invest. You know, we've spoken about this. Axiata started the Axiata Digital Innovation Fund, and that was 70 million initial fund size. I like the phrase that they use, initial fund size. And we met with the CEO of Axiata also and spoke to him once. Not Jamaluddin Bujang, but Jamal something. Okay, that's not good on air live. The CEO of one of the largest listed companies in the region. Forget about Malaysia. Anyway, Dato' Jamal also hinted that there'll be a further, you know, fund coming up. And it's interesting that Jamaluddin Bujang, not Jamaluddin Ibrahim, I think, right? You want to just check, Frida's checking and trying to bail me out here. Said that there will be another fund coming up soon. So, but 70 million is not a small sum.
Dato' Sri Jamaluddin Ibrahim to you.
Jamaluddin Ibrahim is correct then, good. So, and then they've also now got a second private company in called Gobi Partners. This is from China. And they've set up a fund, initial fund of 50 million US. So now MathCap doesn't put in the full amount, yeah? They put in a certain amount, but you become part of this large fund. And Jamaluddin, so this is the MathCap Jamaluddin. Yeah. That's how we got two Jamaluddins in the picture. Now, this is the MathCap Jamaluddin. Says that through ADIF, which is the Axiata one, they've invested in 7 startups and they've got five deals on the table with Gobi Partners. So he says, yes, I feel that 2015 has been a good year in terms of investment and deal flows. In fact, for deal flows, it was their best year ever. It's like they had like 200 over deals, you know, come to them. And, you only take a small portion, but the pipeline is there and you've got better choice of choosing, you know, quality companies, because you've got so many of them who have gone through the filter and you think, you know, you can look at them. So he was really happy about the year, but he just, he said one disappointment for him is that the government has indicated there will be less funding for MathCap in the current Malaysia plan. The next one, right, the 11 Malaysia plan. And he feels that the timing to throttle the funding is bad, because he says that there's just so much more money coming into the ecosystem now. So many interesting companies out there that potentially can be tomorrow's big stars. And for MathCap now to have less money to play in the space means that they could miss out on deals, and he doesn't think that's good. So he's hoping that the government will change its mind and say, hey, this is a great investment for our tax dollar. We'll give you, the amount of money that you need to play effectively in this space, because competition is ferocious now. Mm. Yeah, so much money is in the space. And his other disappointment was he said that not enough corporate players in Malaysia are investing. And he gave the example of 3 large companies in Singapore that are not in the tech space that have created funding to be invested in startups. Now, the startups don't have to be in the tech space, but you're just leveraging on technology to disrupt a brick and mortar business, right? And that's going to be the conversation of our second talking point.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to Dr. Sivapalan, who says that in terms of Malaysia's profile, he felt that 2015 was the year that put us on the global map, right? Especially in the startup ecosystem, not just in terms of players, in terms of entrepreneurs in the startup space, but investors too. And he says that that's actually a big thanks goes up to Magic, says, you know, which was launched in April 2014. And he says that I want to thank Cheryl Yeo not only for putting Malaysia on the map in terms of entrepreneurship, but map in term, on the map for investors as well. He felt that was the biggest change in 2015. And he thanked Cheryl Yeo, and of course she has left as the CEO of Magic. And I was in the U.S. for a quick, you know, family function, and then I went to visit. I went for an NBA game. Brought my kids along, and then they had in the lobby the shoe size of the players. You know, so I'm 6'3" and I wear 11.5. And then they had this one shoe size of the center was like 6'11 or 7 foot tall, and it's size 20. So there are human beings out there who actually wear size 20. shoes, and it just dwarfed my size 11.5. And you know, as soon as I put my foot there and look at the difference, for some strange reason, I straight away thought that the next CEO of Magic has that kind of shoes to fill. Because you know, Cheryl has left a size 20 imprint, you know, in Magic. And I think then the panelists got talking about the impact that Cheryl and Magic have had on the ecosystem. And the hope is that when a new CEO comes in, he or she doesn't try to remake Magic drastically, because Magic is already doing really well with what they have. You just need to add on some programs that obviously the board and policymakers felt was missing to fill the gap, you know, in Magic's offering, and then voila, you're off and running, right? Don't disrupt, you know, the way Magic is operating.
I should know Jamaluddin Ibrahim. He was formerly from IBM, but I was after my time. Before my time, when he left. Speaking of which, as well, when you talk about Magic and Cheryl and the shows, you can see. I think one of the most powerful things that she's managed to do was to communicate what has been done and communicate loudly and frequently, right? Also on BFM, which is great. But that was, I think, the difference, and the probably maybe other institutions doing work as well, but how that's communicated. Yeah. I remember, you know, the infographics about the things that she wanted to do, and it was laid out, and then the report card of what was done.
Yes.
You know, and with that message was, you know, shows that the work that they've done.
It's online, and then she's got a foot in the, you know, she came from Silicon Valley, a foot size 6 maybe she wears. She's a petite person, but you know, you've got a network there, and she leverage on that, and really, yes, Malaysia is on the map. Hopefully, the next CEO comes in and just, you know, adds, and even Dr. Siva said, just add around, you know, fill up the gaps, but don't change what Magic has done, because it's doing great. And they're opening up the intake for the next Magic Accelerator program.
Yeah.
And you need a leader in now, so it's already January.
Well, I know, of course, Asohan was here last month, and you know, what about this talk? And I don't know if there's something you want to talk about here. This talk about how the agenda for Magic was not just for technology-related companies, you know? So is that going to change?
Yes. It definitely will change. So that was the biggest knock on Cheryl, that it was just became too focused on you know, the technology, the startup ecosystem, and then
you
also
know,
they had the social venture element with
Ehon Chan as well. Because I didn't see that way, right? Because a social enterprise, I think, is great if you want to go into business about changing community, right? And even I know that there is a lot of emphasis in technology, but it was also how, you know, with businesses right now, and you've got your F&B, you've got all these things, but how technology works as enhancer,
platform, amplifier
to whatever you're doing. You know, I just saw that there were elements of that as well.
There is, but it was apparently not enough. So you know,
wow, this is just the one story. We've got a lot more.
Yeah, and you've added about 17 sentences already.
Well,
man. That's
I'm
more
so
than
impressed.
What you did last year.
Off to a good start. We're going to talk about something up your alley completely, beauty and wellness. After this, with Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, is Tech Talk BFM 89.9.
Ballsy football moves. BFM 89.9.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu, Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, on our first Thursday of the year. It is the first, huh? Yeah, it is the first Thursday of the year. My goodness, I just feel like I've been doing this forever now since I got back. So, yes, apparently people did come up to you to say that, you know, you were doing all the talking and, you know, Frida didn't get to talk. And that's a good thing that Frida didn't get to talk. What is
this
nonsense?
I didn't get scolded.
Anyway, next story is the beauty and wellness space about to receive the disruption it sorely needs. Is BFAB the startup to do this? So, tell us more about this.
Yeah. Well, this is a startup launched in KL. And
I just quickly looked at it.
You
right?
did, huh? Yeah.
And
what do you think?
So basically, it's you know, if you need to do anything, you know, whether it's your hair, your nails, whatever,
yes.
a one-stop shop, and I think it's good. But also at the same time, I think ladies mm-hmm. or people who go for this, they also go through word of mouth.
Mm.
But if you have completely no idea,
yes.
it's great. And then like you probably want to see what's the closest one yeah. location based. Yeah. I won't go, you yeah. know, to Ampang
exactly
to get my
exactly.
nails done.
Yeah.
You know,
you try to avoid that. Yeah,
I'll go to Bangsa to get my lashes done, yep. hair, eyelash extension. Which I've done. So
yeah, it's a bit too long because if I lean forward, your eyelashes will poke me in the eyeballs.
So this is Kylie Ng.
Yeah, he's one of the three investors. So what's interesting is this company only launched their beta in 2015, which is December, last month.
Mm.
And they've already received...
Last month.
And they've already received, you know, seed funding. And although they don't disclose the amount, they just describe it as being in the six-digit, you know, US dollar range. So it's led by three companies, KK Fund, which is a Japanese fund, 500 Startups, that's Kylie in Southeast Asia, and Capti Ventures. And the founder of and CEO of this company called Powell Netreba. And he was a former Food Panda managing director, but it doesn't say he was the former MD for Malaysia or another country within the region. What he does, he describes getting this funding at this early stage as extraordinary because he says that besides them, the only other startup that raised money at this such an early stage was Joel Neo's K-Fit.
Mm.
So he says they're only the second startup in the history of 500 startups. You know, globally, yeah. To have received funding at such an early stage. So he says that demonstrates confidence in us.
I'm just looking at it, mm-hmm. where the money's coming from.
Yeah.
Is it easy for someone else to duplicate and do the same thing? You know,
I think Kenya. No, the fact that they have raised money like this tells everyone out there that this is a market that is there for disruption. And if another group of entrepreneurs want to come out and do the same thing, if they can convince some investors that they can execute as well, why not? You could have two, and you know, you don't only want one player in the space, right? And we've spoken about individuals before who want to target this space. I remember I went for a pitching session organized by Lead Ventures, Bikesh. And at
Mike Smith.
Yeah, the Co. I mean, the Co, right? There's a shared working space in Bangsa.
Yeah.
And one of the girls who was a shortlisted finalist was planning to do something in this space too. Actually, a Thai lady.
Mm.
Yep. And I don't know whether she's managed to or not. And we spoke about it. But here they are. They're doing it now. Raise funding. And, you know, he says that we're about to change the entire beauty service industry, you know. In Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you never know. And then look at the comment that Kylie gives. Kylie says that the business model for them is an eventuality, which means that it is not set in stone yet. Yeah? You just want to gain traction first. And he thinks that the BFAB team has proven the speed of execution required to make this revolution happen.
Okay.
Only in the startup field, you hear revolution, execution, you know.
But I can see why this speed. Is up Kylie's alley, because mm-hmm. he does need to do something about his hair.
Yeah, probably. Kylie needs something to do with his hair because
he would have spent a lot.
Yeah. I suspect he'll be the single biggest customer
to
yes.
his hair.
And very often. So now, you know, the interesting thing is that when you talk about speed, Netreba said that they want to encompass entire Southeast Asian region, including, I assume, Brunei and Laos, which get left out of the conversation a lot, right? Within 2.5 years, they want to be in those countries. So we'll see. Now, let's just... the chief commercial officer is Raisa Xia, and the CMO is Sergey Geda. So just get their names in there.
Okay, well done.
Yeah.
Now, just to break the pace, you gave a talk to a Rotary Club yesterday about how business will be impacted by life going digital.
Yeah.
Internet of Things. So how did that go? Were you there just for the food?
For the food.
You turn up here.
No, it was interesting because it's a group that I don't normally engage with, and they just wanted to know what was going on in the tech space. And I said, forget about technology, forget about cloud,
yeah,
forget about CRM and all that, you know, a database and all that. While all that's important,
it's back end.
You know, security, it's back end. You know, digital is where it's at because life is changing. Life is going digital. And I actually shared some of the key takeaways from the conference, from our What's Next conference. And especially two of the four key takeaways. One was that brick and mortar companies need to fail faster, learn to fail faster. Yeah. And the second one is don't think out of the box. Just create a team of people who are already not from the box, you know, to disrupt your industry, as MetLife has done, and even as Hong Leong Islamic Bank with Raja Teh Maimuna, right? They are doing so. Do that, and you stuff you guys can do. And what I did was, I went to this website called consumerbarometer.com, and that's a site run by Google, and it gives it shows digital trends, you know, for like what 50 countries in the world. And I went and picked Malaysia. I showed them how easy it was, you know. Pick Malaysia, and then you filter by the age. I said, let's look at the category age 45 to 54. And that's your peer group and guys, you know, who are your customers. And look at how this group over from 2013 to 2014, how they've become more digital. Because the data is right there. And this is throughout Malaysia, not just in urban pockets. And it's only moving in one direction and moving rapidly. So if everyone is getting more digital and especially using smartphone to do stuff, your expectations of how you want to be served becomes different. So I just told them, look, ask yourself if in your business your customers are now becoming more digital. If they are, is your business then does your business have to adjust and cope to deliver, you know, service to them? Because if you have no customers, you have no business. Mm. I just try to keep it simple. I gave some high level points, and I just try to bring it down to that. Because does it affect you? And because there was a senior lawyer there from a law firm, which coincidentally is in the same neighborhood where I live, and you know there were other professionals there, guys who run big companies also. You just got to look at that, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody asked about big companies, whether they will be affected. Oh, someone asked about Astro, interesting enough, because they said there's Netflix and iFlix there. What about Astro? And I said Astro is already adapting, right? The big companies know what to do, and Astro definitely is at the forefront. They realize that this trend in the US called cut the cord, which is has been happening for the last dozen years or more, is going to happen in Malaysia, and they're now acting already to make sure that when customers want to change the way they consume content, Astro say, hey, we already have this suite of solutions, you know, options for you. You don't need to
just cut the cord.
You know, we're giving you many extensions. So,
okay.
So big companies are there, but what else for you, small, medium-sized companies, are you there or not? Which is perfect with the last quick topic.
Yes, yeah? The last one. Actually, got more about this, you know, because of time. So this is a food franchise that started with $300 and it's now in 8 countries. And what I love about the story is how its founder feels that even the most basic digital knowledge can give one an edge. So who are we talking about?
So I love this story because it doesn't come out from Malaysia. So this entrepreneur and the franchise is called Kebab Turki Baba Rafi.
Oh yeah, from Indonesia.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's from Indonesia, right? So because we've got a team in Indonesia. We've been there since September of last year.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's fantastic. It's got 1,200 outlets, predominantly in Indonesia, but in seven other countries. And he hopes to increase this to 200 outlets overseas.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says that he doesn't think they are in the food business. He thinks that they're also in food business. He says we're digital business also, and you need to use digital, especially for promotions, right?
Mm.
You know, he started a company 12 years ago with a loan from a family member of $300. And look at him today, right? He's got 1,500 people employed, right?
Mm.
I didn't talk about the revenue there, but and also they've gone digital. And the beautiful thing is that you do not have to use advanced digital technologies, yeah, he argues. Even the most basic use and awareness of digital can give your business an edge over companies and your peers who have no digital playbook. So that's what the message I was telling the group yesterday too, you know. Just start becoming digital because it will give you an edge over your peers because you're competing with your peers, right? People in the same ecosystem. If you're digital, you're already just one leg up. It's not difficult to do. You don't need to hire someone with a double degree from MIT and you know, Cambridge or Oxford in UK, right? To come, hey, help me figure out this digital. It's not just get going and start, you know, doing stuff. And we've spoken about this time and time again, right? We don't use difficult words on our show, right? A lot of people listen. Some people listen, I hope. and they can appreciate that, you know, life is changing around us. And if you're a business, you got to adapt and become more digital.
Wow, this is interesting.
Absolutely imperative.
And, you know, $300 can go a long way in Indonesia.
Yes. In Indonesia, this was 12 years ago,
yes,
right?
Of course.
So now it's different, but you know, his leverage on digital to become much more successful. Just power to him. Entrepreneur's name, let me not mangle it. Credit, we should mention his name. And this is the CEO or founder is Hendy Setiono.
Yes, and if you listen to our podcast, we've interviewed him before as well.
Oh, you have, huh?
Yes, we have.
Small world.
Yeah. Him and his wife, very dynamic. Yeah. So we'll hear from Karamjit Singh in another 2 weeks from now. Karamjit Singh from Digital News Asia, Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Chaka day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.